And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
You see this?
A family watching baseball on DirecTV with no satellite dish in sight.
Let's heckle them.
You call that changing the channel?
Choke up on the remote, buddy.
I hope getting all these games on DirecTV makes up for your mother not pre-chewing your sunflower seeds.
DirecTV has the most MLB games. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Claim based on total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Terms and restrictions apply.
Hey, we get another crack at this life thing again today. This is pretty freaking cool. Hope you have a super freaking awesome day.
Good morning, Swim World, and welcome to the No Dunks Podcast on the Athletic Network, a fine network. It's Thursday, April 14th. We're back in the Classic Factory. I'm J.E. Skeets, and alongside me, as always, Tass Mellis.
Hello, everybody.
Hello, Tass. We got our Top Shot Hot Boy, Trey Kirby.
Hey-o.
Hey-o. The international man of mystery, taking it to the max, Lee Ellis.
Friends.
Lee, and over yonder, super producer.
Oops. Whoops. I love producer. It when you say super producer yeah. And I fuck up immediately.
That was flawless. JD.
Hello.
There he is. Here we are. Shout out to the stream team joining us live right now on YouTube. Subscribe, like, comment, share the show. Email in your NBA questions. Maybe you have questions about these playoff series coming up this weekend. Send them in. NoDunks@TheAthletic.com. You can tweet them in at NoDunksInc. That's INC. And follow us across all the social media channels. We got a fun one here. We're actually going to preview and predict two Western Conference series a little bit later in the show. I'm talking Warriors Nuggs, and I'm talking Mavs Jazz.
Okay, nice.
So we'll break those down. We'll put our predictions on them. You guys can do the same in the stream team. But let's start with last night's games. We were down at the Fortress for the first one here. Put a bird on it. It was the night for the birds. Trae Young and DeAndre Hunter lead the Hawks. Ka-ka! To the 132. 103 dominant victory over the Hornets there, Tess.
It was a blowout. I got down to the Fortress. I was pretty excited to get down there, mainly because the Hawks did what they did last year. They went to a conference final. Unfortunately, the Atlanta traffic got me. It ate me up. So I got out of my car, popped open the NBA app, and I saw our friend Sir Foster playing the saxophone, the Star Spangled Banner on the saxophone. That was great. Mm-hmm. And then I was walking beside other people as the game started who were also on their NBA app. What a world we live in. So they were talking about LaMelo Ball scoring his points and Trae Young scoring his points. I got in there, only missed a few minutes, it was a sold-out arena there. Are we starting to feel some vibes of last year? That's my question. As they blow out the Charlotte Hornets, they spanked them. They had Danilo Gallinari filling in for John Collins, looking like a playoff performer that he is. Would you be surprised that he just put points on the board and had zero rebounds and zero assists? Yes, that would not be a surprising thing, but he had an offensive rebound. He had a dunk. He had Kevin Herter beside him, who is also a playoff performer. You remember him from Game 7 against the Philadelphia 76ers last year in Round 2. Does some good things in the starting lineup. And as you said, DeAndre Hunter, a shocking third quarter there. He started a little bit slow, but had a big third quarter, ended up with 22 in a very up-and-down season. If you go back to last year, he started off hot, then he got injured. Is he the second best player? Is he better than John Collins on this team? But it's taken such a dip this year with him and this whole team. And I think any skilled NBA player would have scored against the Charlotte Hornets last night. So I can't really take much from this Hawks win at all. I don't think, even if they are able to beat the Cavs and be the 8th seed, I think they're going to get throttled by the Miami Heat and having to go on the road. You just can't try and figure yourselves out over quarters in an NBA game against a real playoff team. And I think the first half really was just simple execution for them. They just had open shots. I don't think it really takes a genius, a basketball savant, to watch what was happening out there. One pass against the Charlotte Hornets defense. Just one pass, and they're wide open shot after a while. It was bad, very bad basketball. I think it was an embarrassing end for the Charlotte Hornets to end their season that way. Now, the third quarter for the Hawks is when they got going, is when, if they played that way for a seven-game series, you could take them seriously. I am looking forward to their Cavs game on Friday, but I think the Cavs are just going to not allow them to do whatever they wanted. Trae Young was fine passing out of the double teams after he got it going, but I just don't think this is much of an indicator of how good this team can be. Not to be a Debbie Downer to start, but I guess it's just sort of a Debbie Downer season from what the Hawks did last year coming into this year. I didn't think the vibes were immaculate in that arena, although it was red and it was quote-unquote sold out. Most of the seats were filled. I think when we get to the Pelicans vibes, those are far more. I thought there was more buzz there, and it's understandable.
No, it's all that traffic you got to fight to get there.
Right. Well, the Pels are on an upward trajectory, even if they're at the same trajectory as the Hawks. While the Hawks are, it's sort of disappointing compared to last year. And I'm not feeling this team as a team that can knock off the Miami Heat. I think that the Charlotte Hornets really that was horrendous. And any NBA player, I think it's as simple as that, can get it going. And that's what happened to DeAndre Hunter, and I'm not sure that's going to happen even Friday. I would take the Cavs at this point.
So what do you think, Lee? You're obviously there. Our standing room only tickets turned into actual seats.
Yes.
Shout out to our guy Kyle and our buddy Jared for hooking us up with that. But were you, like Tass is saying, disappointed with what we saw from the Hornets, and they looked overwhelmed once again here in the 9-10 game? Or were you equally or even more so impressed with the Hawks and the contributions from Herter and Hunter and Capella, you know, nearly beefing and helping out Trae Young? Which one is it, if you had to leave?
Well, it's a little bit of both, to be honest. The Hornets, I was really disappointed. There was no real resistance or even real push. I mean, it was 8 points at halftime, and then it was like 26 points at the end of three quarters, and we knew then the Hawks were just running out the clock. The Hornets' season was on the line, and they're in a position where it's like they needed to get something more out of this season, even if it was only one more game. And so it was a pretty ordinary end, I thought, for them. They just didn't, whether it was James Borrego, he didn't sort of design enough plays or whatever. There was opportunities to score against Atlanta. They just really couldn't do that. Atlanta's defense wasn't locked down last night. Mm-hmm. Tass talks about there the Hawks one pass into three. It was the same for the Hornets. One pass and someone could have taken a shot. There was not much resistance in the paint either. So the Hornets, I think, really did blow an opportunity to at least put pressure on Atlanta. Having said that, I thought, considering Trae Young didn't shoot the ball all that well, he had a couple of those ones that sort of rimmed in and out early on, but everyone else contributed. Kevin Huerter did get them off to that good start, really knocking down threes. DeAndre Hunter, we've already talked about his third quarter there. Bogdanović, he's a little up and down. He's a bit of a Ferris wheel himself, but he knocked in some big shots there. And then Capella as well finished well around the rim. So the Hawks got those important contributions from other guys. So it wasn't like Trae Young had to go for 45 points to win this game. I think he finished 24, had about 11 assists there. So everyone did contribute.
I mean, the Hornets were like picking him up like at times full court, definitely half court.
In the first half,
they were trapping him. Yeah, and then they switched it up. And then he started to cook them, though.
That's right.
He'd get a big on him.
Yeah.
And, the crowd would come alive there. Like, oh, he's going to dance on him.
And I thought it was key what he said after the game, because someone asked him about the trapping, and he said, well, in the first half, and then in the second half, they sort of just didn't do it, and they certainly didn't bring any intensity. That's when their season was on the line right there.
Yeah.
So you would have thought they came out of that halftime locker room, and they're like, all right, let's lock in right now. 5 good minutes, and we can be back in this game.
I couldn't believe, we were talking about it at half, that the Hornets were only down 8 points.
Mm.
It felt like the Hawks had completely outplayed them in the first 24 minutes of the game. And then, the Hornets were right there, but, you know, the third quarter and Hunter sort of takes off in that one. What do you have on this, Trey?
What do I got on this? The Hornets, literally, come on.
You can't
give up 144 in a play-in game last season, then give up 132 here.
Like, that's improvement.
That's it's ridiculous. But I felt like PJ Washington was the only guy who played up to his potential last night. Like, LaMelo had a nice line. I think he finished with, 26 points?
Yeah, 25 shots, I think.
Yeah, yeah. 8 assists. Only 3 turnovers. Like, it looked nice, but he didn't put his imprint on the game at all. He made some threes, and like you're saying, I think he went 4 for 14 from three. So, like, he had a nice volume line, but he didn't really dominate the game, and that's what they needed, because Terry Rozier, he was broke last night. PJ Washington, really the only reliable guy out there. He was certainly a Chevy Trax.
Hell yeah, he was.
But the Hawks, I think the big takeaway for me is that they're much better as an ensemble than just as Trae Young being a soloist, because they had a bunch of players taking a turn being the man last night. Like, we were technically no longer in standing room only, but it was standing room only for Lee in the first quarter when Kevin Huerter was hot. Anytime he would catch the ball, Lee was ready to blow some kisses, no doubt about it. He had 3 threes, 9 points there. It was Danilo Gallinari in the second quarter. He had 10. He had a dunk. People can change. And then in the third quarter, Trae Young and DeAndre Hunter kind of took turns both being the man. It was fun watching Trae cook, and I thought Hunter's shot selection in the second half was just so much better. First half, it was like all he wanted to do was pump fake and take a 20-footer. Brick City. I think he went 1 for 6 in the first half. 3 points. Only took 2 shots in the lane. In the second half, 8 for 10, scored 19, 6 for 6 in the lane. He was attacking off the dribble, he was playing off cuts, and basically there was nobody at the rim for the Hornets, so at least he went inside and scored. 6 in double figures, that's much better than playing, you know, a 45-point game and 15 assists for Trae Young. Spread out the points. Too many points on the scoreboard for the Hornets last night, but spread them out for the Hawks. They're much better like that. And if they get these kind of performances like they got from their role players last night, a prorated beef for Clint Capella, like you're saying, mm-hmm. I think they got to be the favorites going up against the Cavs. Because this is that was a nice-looking Hawks team.
Yeah. Sure.
Obviously, the Hornets didn't give much resistance there. I think John Schumann had the stats. 24 possessions for the Hawks in the third quarter, and they scored on 20 of those possessions. Wow. It was just too easy. It will be harder against the Cavs, but the Hawks looked good offensively last night, for sure.
Yeah, well, you said you were late to the game, obviously, because of traffic. Was it a freight train that got you, like the Hornets? I guess they got blocked coming to the arena. Did you see this, Lili?
Yes.
You know, down there, there's this weird part near the Gulch, call it.
Yeah. I got a friend called the Gulch, yeah.
You do?
Yeah.
How have we never heard of this guy?
Yeah, well, I don't know.
What's his, I assume, Gulch, story?
Yeah. He's just from Sunbury, yeah. He's just the Gulch.
Do you call him that?
His last name's Gully.
Well, interesting. So usually in Australia, a last name doesn't have a Y on it, you add it. But if it does, you take it away.
This has got an E on the end as well. That's weird. Yeah.
Jesus.
Does he live by the sea, Gully?
He does now. Yeah, he does. Yeah, they had the biggest fruit shop in Sunbury. They were like the mafia down there, I'm telling you.
What are they stuffing in those mangoes?
Okay. So anyway, the Hornets were delayed getting to the arena. They had to walk like 3 minutes. Montrezl Harrell had it on his Instagram.
Yeah, so they put it on IG Live. They're making us walk. Yeah, they planted that train there. It's like right by the arena.
Yeah, yeah. There's a weird setup around the arena that there are these like... Yeah,
drive
train tracks.
Gotham City, basically.
Yeah.
It's kind of cool.
Hawks should do that for every playoff game. Like, schedule a train to make them
do
walk.
It.
You know, it's like turning off the hot water in the opponent's locker room.
Right.
You got to walk. Sorry, we got a train.
Yeah, but it's such a quick walk. I'm surprised Montrezl Harrell had time to fire up his IG Live. It's right there.
Yeah.
But it is a couple minutes, I guess.
Yeah. We also had Miles Bridges getting tossed from this game. He's like, get out of here. I mean, this is when they were down huge. It was over. And he threw his mouthpiece. People wanted to know if you caught it or maybe if you got hit. But he accidentally struck a young fan with it. He was throwing it at somebody else who was, you know, telling him to get the hell out of here. Though, I mean, he owned up to his actions after this. He called it unacceptable. He said it's out of character for him. He really was apologetic. He wants to, like, find out who this young girl is and, like, hook her up with stuff. So, he was frustrated. But, you know, where was that fight? In that third quarter, especially.
Because he turned the ball over on that possession. And that's what sort of ticked him over. And you could just see he was like, all right, I'm getting my money's worth here. But look, what he did was wrong, no doubt about it. But I like the fact that he did not try to make an excuse. He didn't try to say, oh, that guy was in my face. He owned up to it right away. He's going to get fined. I don't think he'll get suspended.
No,
Will get tickets and things like that. But the thing is, if you make a mistake like that, so many times we see guys who try to like... hide from it and run from it. He owned up to it immediately.
Yeah.
So I think you have to at least respect him for that. And he knows that he did the wrong thing. And, he was frustrated, understandably so. It was a bad, bad loss for the Hornets.
And she brushed it off. No problem. Yeah. She just absorbed that hit to the noggin.
Yeah, it was.
Right to the head. It was a fireball right to the head.
Well, you remember when he got tossed, you know, because we can see it. Like, we can see him going out the tunnel. You see a little bit on the big screen. I said something like, something happened there. Yeah, I didn't know what it was. In the arena, I'm like, I thought it was just probably he's just barking with someone, or maybe like someone tried to touch him or something like that, and then you find out it's the mouthpiece. Yeah, but again, he's sorry, and I believed him.
Mm-hmm. He tried to throw a mouthpiece at the mouthpiece. He was doing the Steph Curry for several possessions. He had it halfway out of his mouth for several possessions. That was a weird Miles Bridges game for me as well. It's just a weird game from a lot of those guys. I guess the walking really tired them out. But I mean, it was a sad ending for them.
The second year in a row.
It just felt real deflating. I know
they need to do something here in the office. They need an actual rim protector. They need somebody in the inside to help out this defense, because it's so easy. It's dribble into the paint and then kick out. And then if they push out on them, then you're going to have a wide open lane to the rim. So
it's, and Bridges is a free agent, so you know, I think they re-sign him.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
They certainly need more help. They need a big, and they need just a bit more depth as well. This team just seems very, very thin. LaMelo's good. He's an all-star. You know, he's still got a lot of improvement in his game, but they're not really close to sort of vaulting up the standings in the East as they are right now.
People also want to know, what was the official Lee Ellis beer count last night? The line was set at 1.5.
Yes.
Did you hit the over or under?
You know, I actually hit the 1.5 because...
oh boy, we got pushed.
Yeah.
So explain.
Well, because the Stellas are just gigantic. They're like that meme.
Two things are getting bigger every time we go down to the State Farm Arena. Sir Foster's arms time get bigger, and the beer cans get bigger.
They are.
I'm with you on this.
Like last year when we went, I'm sure I could hold it and it was like just outside of my head. Now it's like up here.
I had to help him drink his beer.
I'm drinking just... way too much, and that's what I was saying the other day, is they're so big, by the time you get halfway through, they're already sort of warm.
They're dry.
Anyway, so then I was in a round with Grish, our buddy Grish.
Yes, our buddy.
And so then he went back for his round, but they ran out of Stella, so he had to get this other one. I don't even know what it was.
I bought it, by the way.
Oh, did you?
He was not a fan. I don't think.
Nah, it was an IPA.
Yeah, it wasn't actually all that, and it was 7.5% alcohol volume. I'm like, I got to drive home. So I had a couple of sips and a bit of a mouthful there, and then I was like, I'm not enjoying it. It's way too heavy for me in alcohol, and the game's over anyway. So
you think you're about one of the... I think I would, if I actually took all the liquid from that second can, I bet you barely put a dent in it. I'm saying you hit the under.
Yeah. You're right. I did. But I mean, that's the thing. Is it half or part thereof, or is it like you got to literally go half the can? I don't know.
The one can counts to me as like two.
That's true. That's two, really.
Yeah. That's big.
Yeah.
That's a car battery.
Yeah.
A lot of people in attendance, not just No Dunks. Who were you most excited for?
A ton of people.
Jay-Z, Nelly, Quavo, of course, was there. Quavo doesn't get quite the pop he used to get. I've noticed.
Could have been a bigger pop for Quavo.
I mean, people barely did
pop. More of a pop for Nelly. I mean, biggest pop for Jay-Z. No doubt. He's a legend.
Really? I thought it was for Nelly. They play a song for Nelly.
Yeah, they did.
It's getting hot in here when they introduce him.
And he even had Hornets gear on.
He was wearing Hornets colors, so that was a problem for him. But yeah, Jay-Z being at the game, like, it was so confusing. Obviously, it was Jay-Z, but we were looking for so long, like...
Yeah.
Jay-Z's here. We're like, there's no way. Jay-Z is here. He was at the play-in game in Brooklyn the night before, and then he flew to Atlanta to watch the next play-in game. And I just couldn't stop asking our buddy Grish and Jared, do you think Jay-Z's having fun? Mm. Like, he could literally be doing anything on earth.
Yeah.
The guy's a multimillionaire. He could do anything he wanted. And he's watching the Hawks blow out the Hornets in a play-in game. He can do anything. That's what he's doing.
He's the biggest fan of the play-in tournament, man.
Yeah, I was wondering, is he going to leave? Is he going to leave here and fly or straight to New Orleans to see that game?
If he's in Cleveland or LA for the Friday night games, my God, yeah.
He should come and stand with us then if he wants to have more fun. Because he did look a little sort of disinterested.
They're cramped in there, aren't they?
I know come up with the boys and we'll have a car battery beer with Jay-Z and have some fun. You know?
Be honest with me.
Yeah.
When we found out we were getting actual seats, were you like, you love the standing room only tickets? Or were you like, oh, this is great?
Well, look, I can be persuaded.
Especially when it comes with free drinks and food.
Right on center line there, I mean. And there was no one behind us at the start, so I was like, I'm going to be standing here anyway.
True.
So, you know, I'm a man who can be persuaded when everyone else is doing it. I thought, why not? I want to be with my friends tonight. But we did have the great standing room position there because everyone turned up and there was no one else there, so we really did own that area.
We had it locked down.
Yeah, yeah.
We just gave it up just like that.
But, you know.
We're sellouts, man. That's what I'm getting at.
Yeah. That's fine.
It was worth it. They were great seats. Yeah.
Yeah.
Just seeing this from the stream team, not sure if this is true, but Daniel Tapp mentions, I believe Jay-Z owns the agency that reps LaMelo Ball.
Okay.
Maybe that's why he's in it.
Cheering on his guy.
Yeah, cheering on his guy.
I think he just likes playing basketball. And he got a stinker last night because it was over. I mean, we saw a lot. There was garbage time for what felt like, I don't know, 16 minutes of this game.
Yeah, the end was brutal. Like, Tass and Grish were gone for a long time. They were in the club and we're like, they're not coming back. Yeah. Why? There's a game on down there on the TVs. Should be fine. There was a great moment, though, in the fourth quarter. On the dance cam.
Oh, yeah.
At the very least. A great dance cam competition, I would say. And this guy is certainly... He won the fan vote.
Oh, my God. He was
an
amazing.
Older gentleman touching and feeling on himself. He's got a crew of women behind him.
Making it rain on him.
Making it rain. It was so good that he won, and they rolled back like a phantom cam slow-mo of him, just rubbing on his brownies. People making it rain. They were coming up to him and like shaking his hand afterwards. Thanks for making the fourth quarter. We're watching.
Yeah, because those are impulse make it rainers behind him, right? That wasn't planned at all.
It seemed like
I want to believe that.
I showed this to Nora this morning to ask, and she said, "This was this planned?" I'm like, I don't think so. Yeah, like, this guy's got a credential on. Yeah. He was sitting like three rows back. I was like, it just happened. Like, this is Atlanta in a nutshell right here. And she was like, okay. Funny. It was very, very funny. When they do those dance cams and you pick a winner, does the winner actually ever get anything?
Good question.
Or is it just like, you just got our respect, sir?
That's a great question.
I always wonder that.
It's a great call. Because we also did see they had like a name all of the baseball teams in 24 seconds contest between a fan and Kevin Herter. They both got 15, and they're like, that's a tie, but we'll give you the AirPods anyways.
That seems fair. Right?
Yeah, definitely. It'd be like a major diss.
Trey Curry just keeps yelling, Cubs, Cubbies, Cubs.
Cubbies!
He wants to say Chicago teams. It's very weird.
I thought they were going to give him just one AirPod for the tie. Sorry. Come back next time.
Yeah, come back next season if we don't have another game. We'll see if they have a playoff game. Just quick thoughts on Friday night's game. Do you like Atlanta's chances to beat the Cavs in Cleveland here to get in to play the Heat?
Absolutely. I mean, why not? I mean, Cleveland is the home team, and we've seen home court advantage has been very impactful. They were good against Brooklyn, but there's no reason to think that Atlanta can't go there and get a win. I think Atlanta probably has the better overall cast of players. Jared Allen's ability.
It's like 50%, saying. Last I saw that he might play in this. Put me down that he plays.
Oh, same here. Surely
give it a go.
You run him out there because they can't afford to lose this game. Obviously, now whoever loses it out. So I think Trae Young can have a really good game. I think him and Darius Garland's going to be a good battle there. But from what I saw last night, and again, it wasn't against the best defensive team. The Cavs are a much better 3-point defensive team. Mm-hmm. Hawks should be feeling pretty good, though. They've been playing much better over the second half of the season, too, than Cleveland has been. John Collins, I don't expect to play, but as we saw last night, they can survive without him, certainly in a one-off game. So I think Cleveland probably is the favorite, but only by a point and a half, maybe two points. But I'd take the Hawks.
Okay. The Hawks won the season series, if you want to take anything from that. 3-1, they won the last three games. And they played really three times since New Year's Eve. And Trae Young just dominated in all three victories. One of them was definitely without Garland. There was another without Mobley and Jared Allen. So, you know, depends on who's playing here. But do you like the Hawks' chances here?
I'm taking the Cavs.
Really?
I think the Hornets allowed the Hawks to get going. I don't think that happens with the Cavs. Now, if the Hawks can carry over that offensive momentum, much thanks to the Charlotte Hornets for playing that defense, that Matador defense against them. But I don't see that happening. I think the Cavs are a much tougher defensive team. And when Jared Allen gets in there, puts everybody back into their proper roles. Like, you know, Danilo Gallinari is not going to destroy Lauri Markkanen, I don't think. Like, there's going to be some decent matchups where it's Evan Mobley or whoever. I just don't see them destroying guys like they did. The Cavs team is a very, very good defensive team, and they show a lot of fight. So it should be a game that goes down to the wire, but I like the Cavs.
You sometimes wonder with playing or game planning for, like, a Hawks team, like, is it better for Trae Young to, like, get his 45 and just take away all of the other guys, Herter and Bogdanovich and stuff like that, and stay at home more and let him sort of maybe float you to death inside or get to the line? I don't. It's possible, I think, because these other guys hitting threes, a lot of it off Trae Young and all the attention he gets. I mean, that's a backbreaker, too. But what do you think, Trey, for Friday night's game here?
Okay, so 31 assists on 46 makes for the Hawks last night, 16 threes. I mean, you maybe just want to say, hey, Trey, see if you can score 60 and beat us. That's maybe not the dumbest move for the Cavs. But the Hawks are favorites right now, 2.5-point favorites, according to BetMGM. Wow. I think they can get to a higher level right now than the current Cavs team can, especially not knowing what you're going to get from Jared Allen and exactly how long he'll be able to play and what sort of impact he'll have. I think Caris LeVert is kind of like a huge player for the Cavs in this one, because I think Garland's going to have a good game. You know, Mobley will probably score 18 to 22 points and hit the glass. Who knows from Jared Allen? I think Kevin Love will show up, but you got to have somebody else. Like, the Hawks, as we've seen, they can score. They've got shooters who are shooting the ball pretty well right now. There's just got to be a second perimeter sort of player for Cleveland, and I think LeVert is the most likely candidate. Give me the Hawks.
Okay. I'll also take the Hawks, but I think it's just because I would love to see the Hawks in a playoff series against the Heat. We can go down for game 3 or 4 or something like that.
Yeah.
You know, I'm being greedy here.
And then it's Hawks Raptors in the second round.
Oh, so. There we go. Huh, now we're laughing. All right. Let's talk about the second game, unless anybody has anything else on the Hawks' dominant victory there. Lee,
just
anything
one thing
else?
On Jay-Z. Was he wearing the same clothes he was wearing
it
the night before?
Sure looked like it.
I mean, it's definitely the same hat, I believe.
I think it was a different hat.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I think he had an L.A. hat on.
Oh, he did. He did.
He had an L.A. hat on for the first game, and then that was like a fear of God. Looks like a Detroit Tigers hat.
Okay.
Last night.
No, you're right.
Same sweater, though, right? Sweater looks similar.
Sure.
Who knows?
Maybe he's like Mr. Rogers. Just has like one outfit, but several versions of it.
Right? Steve Jobs style.
Yeah, that, exactly. Like that meme of the old guy who's wearing the shirt, and he got for his birthday the exact same shirt, and he's smiling there. Maybe that's it. Beyonce's just like, he loves this outfit. I'm just going
to
buy it.
Some people love to have. I'm surprised you don't do this, if I'm being completely honest.
I've got a couple of similars, but.
Yeah, just like some people like the idea of like a uniform. I don't have to think in the morning. More time for breakfast.
Yeah, I've got from oh my god, I can't remember, Akash, my shirts guy.
what do you have to name drop your shirt?
AK Threads?
Yeah, AK Threads.
Clothing.com.
Yeah, I don't think he's in business anymore, actually, unfortunately. But,
as soon as you got off TV, you got screwed.
Yeah, I hope I didn't eat into the profits, but I've still got a few AK Threads at home. They're a great fit.
Okay.
Cash, bring them back.
All right. Get one for Jay-Z, man. Yeah. Really, you know, get business booming again. Okay, let's go to the Pelicans-Spurs game. New Orleans pulling this one out. Spurs made it a 6-point game. I mean, they chipped away, but Brandon Ingram, JV, doing work at the end. TK, so New Orleans moves on here. I thought a pretty good game.
This is why you trade for CJ McCollum.
Damn right.
The play-in tournament takeover. Massive second quarter, in particular for CJ McCollum. I watched that one on the subway for the most part. Mm-hmm. Shout out to streaming, man.
Oh, it's amazing.
You can watch it anywhere.
It's pretty cool.
That the MARTA is above ground for a lot.
That's a great call. Got a little... Got a little dicey there at the 5-point station. You're underground for, you know, a minute and a half. Pretty grainy. 19 points, though, on 7-7 shooting in the second quarter for CJ McCollum. He finished with 32 points and 7 assists. He's awesome to watch when he's on fire because, like, it feels like the defense is so good on CJ McCollum no matter what. But he hangs just barely enough, and then the release is pure. Yep. Makes a lot of tough shots. Brandon Ingram was good as well. 27 on 11 and 19 shooting. And Jonas Playinchunas, another huge play-in game. 22 points, 14 rebounds, 2 blocks. Just honestly brought the toughness out there. But like you're saying, Skeets, the Spurs stuck around. They got untracked a little bit in the fourth quarter. But DeJounte Murray just didn't look the same. Didn't look like an all-star. He's coming off an illness, and you could kind of tell. Keldon Johnson as well couldn't get it going until the Pelicans were up big. New Orleans just looked like a little bit better team and a little bit more experienced, so a really, really nice win for them, I thought.
Yeah, I thought Pop summed it up well. The 3 best players for New Orleans all played great, and if that happens, you're going to lose. We stayed in it, got back, but then we made the same mistakes as we did through the first 3 quarters. We were non-physical on defense, is what Pop said. But yeah, McCollum, 32-7-6, Ingram, 26-5-5, big dunk as well. And then JV, the 22-14. They looked great. I like their chances against the Clippers, I'll be honest, too, on Friday night. Maybe we get the road teams, or I guess the underdogs, though they're not an underdog, you said, with that Hawks line, but winning. We'll see.
And there was a buzz in that building. Yeah. I thought at times watching the broadcast that felt like they were pumping in music or pumping in sound. It was that loud, for a big chunk of the game.
Yeah.
And those stars... Yeah, took turns, and that's the nice thing. Guys didn't have to be hot the entire game. Ingram started the game extremely hot. He had 11 in the first quarter, and CJ McCollum goes off for 19 in the second quarter. Then Valanciunas had his third quarter run there. He had 12 in the third, and then Ingram finished it off with that 10-point quarter, you know, the dunk through Jakob Poeltl. Or is that Zach Collins?
Zach Collins. Yeah.
Sometimes it's hard to tell who's who, but they both get dunked because they both get dunked on. They both get after it. But, it, you know, when a trade like the CJ McCollum trade goes down, most people look at it on the rosier side of things. Like, he could be their number two guy with Zion there, you know, along with Brandon Ingram. And that just came to fruition yesterday. That's exactly what happened, that they were just the best a version of themselves, and they were better than the Spurs. Although I thought Devin Vassell hitting 7 threes was gonna take him to the promised land towards the end, but they just couldn't compete with McCollum and Ingram. It felt a little like the Wolves the other night, you know, taking turns between Anthony Edwards and D'Angelo Russell. These guys finished the job, and Valanciunas with the slick hairdo two slick men last night.
Oh, we had, I would say we had three slick men. The Dangerous Knights crew was quite a crew because you had, in the first game, obviously Gallinari.
Oh,
very he used
slick.
To be a piece of shit, but people can change. Valanciunas has been rocking the slick back look for a while. And Zach Collins was pretty slick.
Zach. Yes.
And, yeah, you know, the Trey's look. Got a little slickness going here, too. Was that in...
You call this slick back? This is pushed back.
People can change, though. So that's nice to see. But... what do you got on this, Lee? McCollum, Ingram, and JV were awesome, but some love to the Rooks as well. Herb Jones.
Great.
Doris Burke going crazy on the broadcast for Herb Jones. I love it. I mean, you know, if you're going to feel silly if you are an actual voter and you maybe don't have Herb Jones on either all rookie teams. I mean, that should be a given. But even all defense.
Yep.
He had that play where he blocked it and then the steal. And then there was a dunk on the other end. It was called off. But he was amazing. 12-5-2-2.
And I thought Alvarado was also good for them.
Three threes.
He's the guy who just comes off the bench. You never quite know what he's up to and where he is out on the floor. But he was effective for them. And Greg Popovich, I think you mentioned there, summed it up. They just were not physical.
Yeah.
And CJ McCollum, a couple of drives late, or late in the second quarter there, he just walked in. Mm-hmm. And Mark Jones was great on the call, you know, talking about how deep his bag is. But
Mark Jones and Doris Burke, I love it.
Mark Jones said,
I love it.
He said, CJ McCollum's bag has got a bag.
Yeah.
That was his line.
Yeah. But that's a thing. I mean, for a Greg Popovich team, you always sort of think, you know, just defense. And now, this is obviously not the Tim Duncan San Antonio Spurs, but there was no real physicality. And Pop always talks about that. Remember, they give me some nasty from a few years back. Like, they just did not have that. And that's a thing with a young team there. So, and then if you look at the efficiency, Ingram, 11 for 19, Valanciunas, 9 for 14, and CJ, 12 for 23. If three guys are shooting like that, how do you really get in? But they did. They were close enough, but it just didn't feel like they were going to get over the line. So good job for the Pelicans. I also really think they're a chance now against the Clippers too on Friday night. I mean, Paul George is the best player in the series, but he's still sort of figuring things out a little bit. Ty Lue, I've talked about, I think he's a great coach tactically. But if you're the Pelicans right now, you've got so many guys who are playing well. You've got defenders. They've got guys who've got experience. CJ McCollum, I mean, this is the first time we've ever seen him as the number one guy in a playoff team. He's always been the sidekick.
He's like the point guard. He's their point guard.
And again, he's not a point guard, but in this game, he was like, I'm going to lead these guys because he's got the most playoff experience out of anyone. So, I mean, Valanciunas, I guess, probably played 60-odd games as well. But CJ, I think, without Lillard there, was like, hey, I'm going to be the Lillard in this situation. And I thought he was. So it was a fun game. And I'm happy for the Pelicans. Their season continues.
I think Spurs fans might even be happy too. We talked about, I think you brought it up, Trey. Like, if they had won these two games and actually got into the dance, like, they lose like six spots in their draft pick. So in losing this, it's going to help their chances to add another young player to a, obviously a pretty crazy core as it is. I mean, Primo played in this. I don't think he got, what, 10 minutes or something like that. It wasn't a lot, but it gave him a taste, and they've got these young guys there with DeJounte Murray leading the way.
Lonnie Walker was angry with his 17 minutes. He got to Twitter after the game and started liking everyone who said, more Lonnie Walker, Walker. Hate to be that Twitter guy to bring it up, but yeah, you know, Lonnie Walker is one of those guys. He's so polarizing. Sometimes you see him. He was having a good game in this game. Sometimes he looks like a Hall of Famer, legit. And then sometimes he looks like, you know, he could be a third stringer in this league. But all of those second stringers, all those young guys for the Pelicans, just really energized the group. You know, Herb Jones, Jackson Hayes minutes out there, and Jose Alvarado, who was the opposite of the slick back look, had the flow going with the headband, just let it free for the play-in tournament. I can't wait to watch him against the Clippers. I'm a Brandon Ingram fan. I'd like to see him in the postseason for the first time, which is surprising that he hasn't been there in his 6 years. So, I'm kind of cheering. I'm kind of cheering for the Pels on Friday night.
Yeah, do you think Jose Alvarado changed the hairstyle because people had figured out what he looked like and trying to find him with his sneaky steel? So he's like, he's gonna change his appearance.
Like, disguise every single night. Yeah. I love it, sure. Show up in a trench coat. Hey, is that two kids on each other's shoulders? No, that's just Jose Alvarado. Oh, there's a steel.
He was stalking a couple times last night. He never really aggressively went for it.
That's got to be scouted at this point. That's got to be the first thing when Ty Lue comes into the locker room. He's like, if anybody gets Alvarado, you're on the bench with me.
That's true. Do you think this was Pop's last game? I mean, he was asked about it, and he basically said F off words. Yeah. But, you know, he's won a gold medal there in the Olympics, and he's become the NBA wins leader earlier this season. There's not, of course, much left for him to accomplish.
No.
He's 73.
Yeah.
But seems to be enjoying coaching the young guys now here. What do you think?
Well,
because you've been wrong about this.
I have. Eventually, I'll get it right. Yeah. But Mark Stein, who's very plugged into the sort of Texas teams there, has been saying a lot this season that he feels he's got one more season in him. So I'm gonna take Mark Stein's word there. But Miles Brown had a good tweet last night that Pop's just going to do an Irish goodbye. Basically, just like, that's it, I'm gone. No ceremonies, sure. No press conferences, anything
agree.
Like that. And it'll just be, I'm not coaching anymore. And he won't, he'll tell the owner there, who's the Holt family, mm-hmm. he'll just say, I'm not coming back, and that'll be it. He doesn't want any sort of celebration. Yeah. So, but I suspect he's got one more year in him.
Wow.
Yeah.
All right.
I think Pop has lost it a little bit. He's just not mean anymore.
Nice.
He's too nice. He was so nice to Cassidy Hubbard on the broadcast.
He was.
I don't mean lost it in terms of coaching or anything. He's just not nasty. I want my nasty Pop. Yeah. Give me that nasty. Anyways, it was nice to see him nice, actually, on the broadcast. I have no idea if he's coming back. I'm not good at predicting these things whatsoever.
Trey?
I like hearing him coach the young guys, where he's like, you guys are playing crazy out here right now. But if you want to play crazy, do it on the glass.
Yeah.
So, nice I don't know. It seemed, yeah, exactly. It's like, maybe he's enjoying, the rebuilding phase of this Spurs team more than he thought he was going to.
Right.
So, yeah, I can see him coming back. I can see him going away as well. But I think he'll have a ceremony.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I do.
Well, they talked about it on the broadcast. Like, I mean, he said, like, I didn't have to do a whole bunch of coaching when it was Duncan and Tony and Ginobili, later in their careers. But he's probably liking the idea of, like, having to coach again.
Totally.
A lot of these guys and teach them. So, first thoughts here then on Friday night's Pelicans-Clippers game. I know you're sort of cheering for the Pels.
Yeah,
you'd like to see Ingram get in there. But, Trey, what do you think? Who are you picking in that one? It's in L.A., 10 o'clock start on TNT on Friday night.
The Pelicans will have a chance if Paul George doesn't have a good game again. He didn't have he had an okay game in the loss to the Timberwolves, but it was really just one really, really good quarter for Paul George and kind of spotty performances in the other three. We just saw the Clippers lose to a game when two perimeter players kind of took turns, and D'Angelo Russell and Anthony Edwards. That's exactly how the Pelicans won last night. And Ingram, I think, could be a matchup problem because Paul George is going to have to guard either McCollum or Brandon Ingram. Yeah. He can't guard both of them, so there's one other of those two there. Ingram has been solid. He's got a little bit of size on Paul George as well, and I think Valanciunas will be a problem on the glass. But I also think the Clippers will probably be better and play with a little bit more intensity for the entirety of the game, considering this is win or go home at this point. So give me the Clippers in a close one.
Ooh, okay.
Yeah, I like Pelicans to upset the Clippers. I think Herbert Jones will do a good job on Paul George. Herb is real solid, and will take that on himself, and that's really important. The other guys didn't perform behind Paul George either. A lot of them. We didn't get the Reggie Jackson from last year's playoffs in that game. He doesn't look to be quite on right now, and I don't think he's going to make CJ McCollum pay or the backcourt of the Pelicans really pay. So that's the problem, I think, with the Clippers right now. They're just not scorching hot. They're a jump shooting team, and they're not jump shooting that well right now.
What do you think? Who you got? Pels-Clips.
I've got the Pels in a close one as well. I just really impressed with their big three last night. They got the good contributions, and the Clippers, as Paul George is back, still haven't quite sort of been convinced yet that they are where they should be. So I hope it's close, and I hope we see. I'd like to see the Pelicans, considering where their season was, how bad it's been for David Griffin this season.
Crazy.
If they make the playoffs, that's a huge accomplishment.
Zion Williamson coming back if they
No, but he was apparently doing dunks. 360s. Yeah. Him and Ben Simmons have been the best two off-court players this season. It's been incredible.
Never miss.
Never miss.
Any other thoughts on Pel's Spurs or Friday night's game? Any other random notes? No, not a lot.
Nah.
Did you watch this last night or this morning?
No, yeah. I started when I got home last night, but it was the first half, second half. I didn't feel like it was like going to be super close. It got close
it
enough,
did. Yeah.
But it was one of those games. I was like, I think the Pels are going to win this, and they did. So.
Yep. Okay. Good. Let's take our first break then. When we come back, we're going to look ahead to two of the Western Conference playoff series that we of course know. That is the Warriors Nuggets. And help me out.
Mavs, Jazz.
There are so many series right now. We'll break those down and predict them right after the break.
If only starting your fitness journey was as easy as starting this podcast, that would make me so happy. The truth is, all the lift big, get big, and beach body ready in 3 weeks pressure stops most of us from even starting. And starting is what matters most. It's everything, really. It really is. Wherever you're beginning and wherever you want to be, Peloton encourages you to just start. With thousands of classes to get you moving and doing what you can, if that's a 10-minute low-impact class, they got those. And when you're ready, take it up a gear, you know, a 30-minute live DJ ride. DJ John Michael, that guy plays the hits. He always gets me going. Start with Peloton and find instructors that will keep you motivated to stay on your fitness journey. Learn the basics and build from there. Remember, doing something is everything. Get started with a Peloton bike or Bike Plus rental at onepeloton.com/bike/rentals. onepeloton.com/bike/rentals. Terms apply.
I'm Trey Wingo.
And I'm Kevin Frazier. We're teaming up on a new weekly sports podcast from Wondery, Alternate Routes.
As former SportsCenter anchors and current sports obsessives, we're consumed by all the what-if questions that make being a sports fan so excruciatingly fun.
If you're like us, then you also live and die on the fallout from every drop pass, busted draft pick, and game-changing play.
Or play call.
Intercepted at the goal line by Malcolm Butler.
Sorry, Marshawn, still too soon. Each week on Alternate Routes, we'll take a flashpoint in sports, break down what actually happened, then explore every alternate scenario and the ripple effects it would have caused.
Follow and listen to Alternate Routes on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen ad-free by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.
I mean, the possibilities are limitless, Kevin.
What if Portland drafted Michael Jordan?
What if the NBA never vetoed the Chris Paul trade to the Lakers?
That's a butterfly effect for real.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service anytime. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service that you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
All right, back with the boys here in the Classic Factory. Let's start breaking down some series. If you're new to the show, welcome. Hit the like button and subscribe.
Do that.
No Dunks on YouTube. Yeah. Let's start with the Warriors-Nuggets series, all right? Game one, Saturday. It's the late game. This is the 3-6 matchup. Warriors 53-29, Nuggets 48-34. Warriors have the best defense in the league. Defensive rating, number one overall. Yeah, not wild. Nuggets, sixth-ranked offense and middle of the pack when it comes to defense. We do have some news from this. Campazzo will not be playing in game one in this series. We actually forgot to sort of address this.
I'm surprised that was the news.
Yeah, well, Campazzo suspended one game for forcefully shoving Lakers guard Wayne Ellington in the back the final game of the regular season. Wayne Ellington was not happy. The Golden Arm says, when I see you next time, I'm going to remember that. So anyway, Campazzo probably correctly suspended one game. He's not there. And then we're waiting on Steph Curry and whether he's going to be playing in the first game there on Saturday night.
Right.
But Tess, what do you think about this one? What are the keys to this series?
Well, I'm looking forward to it. It's juicy from the standpoint you have Nikola Jokic, a wizard. A guy will pick you apart offensively. He's going to find his shooters against one of the best defenders of this generation in Draymond Green. Mm-hmm. I don't think Draymond Green is going to start on Jokic. I think he's going to end the game on Jokic, especially with his back issues. That may be something that hopefully doesn't hold up Draymond Green playing to his capabilities, but I kind of buy Draymond Green being able to turn it on in the playoffs because he was leading the number one defense in the league. It is surprising that they still got there despite Draymond Green being out for so long, but I am going to love that fourth quarter matchup. That's what's going to happen. Kevon Looney will probably start on Jokic, but at the end of the game, it's going to be Green against Jokic, and they're going to try and guard him one-on-one, even though he's given up size to Jokic. I think we just talked about Trae Young. The best move is probably play him one-on-one. That's exactly what they're going to do with Jokic. They're not going to let the shooters and Monte Morris and Bones Highland and down the line with Will Barton, Aaron Gordon, and the Greens, Jeff and Jermichael, try and beat this team. They're going to play him one-on-one. So I'm looking forward to that. But the Draymond Green, just this, the little moves, he's going to put an arm bar in Jokic's back over and over and over. It's going to be a blast to watch in the fourth quarter. On the other side, we said that Ben Simmons, Zion Williamson, great on the Twitters right now. I think watching Steph Curry's sprinting around right now on the Twitters, I'm buying it. I'm just buying into him coming back, whether it's game one or game two. I think it's great for him right now because Jordan Poole has been on fire. So I think he can kind of ease into the series off the ball. He's always kind of always off the ball, but even more so now because Jordan Poole has been so, so good. And I'm a little bit worried about this Nuggets middle of the pack defense when you've got weapons like Jordan Poole who's playing so well. I think Steph is coming back. It's been quiet, but I think he is coming back, and Klay Thompson is playing like himself. And so the, you know, there's the other guys that fit around them. I'm a little bit worried. Even though the Nuggets are good at three-point defense, I think there's so many weapons on this Warriors team. If Curry's sprinting around and Jordan Poole's setting guys up, I think they're going to be clicking. So I'm feeling like the Warriors will come out, especially if Steph is out there. They'll come out firing. I think they could make this a somewhat quick series if they're clicking.
Are you concerned at all? Like, let's say Curry can't play game one, maybe even game two or whatever, minutes restriction or something like that. Is there a chance that the Nuggets could sort of do the, not the impossible here, but very difficult as underdogs in the series?
Yeah, I don't have a really strong feel on this series because of the so much uncertainty there, especially obviously with Steph. And then Draymond, even when he came back, Draymond said, I haven't been feeling myself lately. So
I think that's true, right, when he came back. But over the last little bit, he started to look a little bit more like the elite defensive Draymond Green. Yeah. And Klay, like you said, started to look Klay, a little bit more like the Klay Thompson of an old. So
the last three games for Klay, he averaged 36 points on 50% shooting threes on 14 attempts a game. But it's sort of the end of the season, you know, how much do you take out of those games? But that's great for him because he hadn't looked like that prior to that. So, and the Steph injury obviously just looms large over the Warriors. I think without him or without Draymond, they just seem like a completely different team. As for the Nuggets, Jokic, as great as he's been, he's likely going to win another MVP here. But he also showed signs of fatigue to me towards the end of the season a few times. Like, it just looked like the load he was carrying was starting to catch up with him. So you need those younger guys, like Trey mentions there, the Bones Highlands. He needs to have one of his Bones Highlands game. I mean, it's a lot to ask for a young guy, but they need someone like Aaron Gordon's been good. He needs to have a 20 to 25 point game as well. So Warriors have home court advantage. I'm taking them, I suppose, in the series, but if someone said the Nuggets in six, I'd say sure, just as likely as the Warriors in seven. So that's where I'm going, but not really sure exactly how it's going to play out.
Yesterday we talked about the Sixers-Raptors series, and we, like most people said, Embiid's got to play. He's just got to be out there as many minutes as possible. Same thing's true with Jokic. Mm. Like, the numbers are insane. When he's on the floor, they outscore opponents 8.4 points per 100 possessions. Without him, opponents outscore the Nuggets by 7.9 points per 100 possessions. 16.3 difference there, points per 100 possessions, which is wild, wild gap. But, you know, you're asking a lot from him. Like Embiid, a giant dude, and do everything for us. That's why I'm with you guys that you need a huge Will Barton game. You need a huge Monte Morris game. Like, they got to pick their spots here to make this a real series, in my opinion, because I think Curry will return. And I'm actually excited, and I almost forget the Warriors' big three. Hell, even throw Iguodala at the end of games in. Like, how devastating they could still be. I'm excited to see that. It's been a while. They've played 11 minutes.
Haven't seen it this year.
Yeah, exactly. But what do you think, Trey, about this one?
Yeah, I think it's tough to predict just because I feel like we don't know what the best version of the Warriors looks like, even if Steph Curry is healthy, right? Like, we don't know who their fifth closing player is going to be. It'll be Steph, Klay, Poole, Draymond, maybe Wiggins. Like, first half of the season, Wiggins, the perfect guy to slot in there. Hasn't been that player for a long time. Kuminga's 19 years old. Otto Porter was talking about how recently he's felt like he's been running around on one leg earlier in his career. Like, he's an older guy, but he's definitely an X factor. I think Jokic can win a couple of games in this series on his own, but I think Tass is 100% right that an awesome line for the Warriors would be Nikola Jokic averaging like 45 points per game and 6 assists this series. Like, let him go crazy. Right. Like, he'll probably foul Looney out of a couple of games, but Looney will take his chances and bang on Jokic for a little bit. Draymond will be the closing defender for him.
Bielitsa might get actually some like fouls on him.
He'll foul him.
So they're gonna need to.
Yeah, but Jokic will make the free throws at the line. So I mean, I think the idea that Bielitsa contributes in this series is pretty funny to me. He's been better lately. That being said, stay home on all the other Nuggets. Like, make Aaron Gordon try and beat you off the dribble. You know, make Austin Rivers have a playoff Austin Rivers game, which we've seen in the past. Yeah. You know, he's had some decent playoff moments, but the Warriors' depth is gonna be superior here. And I think that even if Curry can't go, Jordan Poole's good enough that he would be the best guard on the Nuggets. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like, if he were playing on that team, at least this season. So if he's able to be a little bit of a Steph light, if we see the Klay that we saw the last few games of the season, I think this is going to be a Warriors victory. I got him in six because I think Jokic is good enough that he can just take a couple of games there. He's an MVP-like player. And who knows, if the Nuggets hit threes, then they look even better. But if I'm the Warriors, I'm saying, Jokic, go crazy, man. Let's see some of these massive lines, because that's better for us than losing to Monte Morris hitting seven threes.
Yeah, and the Nuggets are being a little coy about the whole Jamal Murray and Michael Porter Jr., like, will they or won't they return? I don't think they're going to, but they're not saying it.
They're not ruling them out.
And nor should they. I mean, leave them guessing. But, okay, Trey has Warriors in six. What do you think?
I think we're going to see some sly moves from Michael Malone, the Nuggets coaching staff, at the end of games. I think there's going to be some hackas. It might even be a hack of Wiggins if he's out there. They did a hack of Looney earlier this season. It worked.
Yeah.
It really threw off the Warriors' offense, because they're going to be flowing. I think they're going to find a way. The rotations are a question mark, but they'll find a way. Against the Nuggets defense, again, that's not all that good. No. We could see a hack of Draymond just try and slow this team down. So there's going
to... Just to get them out of rhythm.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a rhythm team for sure. So Jordan Poole, hard to predict what's going on with Steph, but because Jordan Poole has been so good, as Trey said, he would be the best guard on the Nuggets. So, you know, going up and down the roster for the Nuggets, you're sort of relying on Monte Morris to be a lead guard. He was their best shooting guard. He had shot, you know, almost 40% from three. But then you're kind of asking a lot, I think, from him to be a lead guard. And then, you know, down the road with Highland and Barton and Rivers and Gordon and Jeff and Jermichael just sort of chip in. Yeah, I like Jokic winning a couple games as well. I think six is the max for the Warriors for me.
Okay. Lee, what do you think?
Warriors in seven, but that's that's just like, I don't really know. I could see the Nuggets winning this series as well. If Steph is not 100% and if Draymond is not also able to impact the game, and if that sort of last season flurry from Klay Thompson was, you know, kind of a bit of fool's gold just because he had been struggling to that point, and the teams were sort of taking their foot off the gas at that point. But I think the home court and the experience gives the Warriors the advantage here.
And just to go back to, like, Jokic has to play a ton, I'm sure people are like, well, what about Cousins? Boogie's been good for them. He has, but offensively he's okay.
Mm.
You can roast him defensively.
Yeah, he's too slow.
And which is why there's still a big, obviously, difference when Jokic is off the floor, because he is a decent defender. I mean, he's a weird defender, Jokic is, but the metrics back it up.
Yeah.
You know, he's obviously a smart defensive player. He's got great hands. He confuses. I know Zach Lowe had a great thing where he's talking about how he confuses offensive players because you don't know if he's going to jump or swipe or what he's going to do and all this stuff. But I'm also with you guys. I think it's a perplexing series to figure out without the Curry, knowing if he's going to play in one, two, three games, minutes restriction and all that. But I like the Warriors to win this. If Jamal Murray was playing, if he plays, wow, it's a whole different ballgame for me. But Warriors in six. I'm agreeing with you guys. You're going Warriors in seven.
Mm-hmm.
Let's hear from the stream team. Let us know. Warriors, Nuggets, how many games? What do you think? Let's move to the other Western Conference series, Mavs Jazz. First game gets the playoffs started. They get the 1 o'clock start on ESPN on Saturday, which is probably not great news for Mavs fans because Luka Doncic is injured. Last I saw, it's sounding like he's going to miss at least two games with this calf injury that he picked up in the final regular season game. Mavs 52-30, middle of the pack offense, number six on defense in the league.
Mm-hmm.
You know, really, really respectable stuff there. Jazz 49-33, number one offense, and a top 10 defense, just slipping in there, ninth best defense. What do you think here, Lee? What are the keys to this?
Well, this is the series the Mavs wanted against the Utah Jazz. They've got home court advantage, but now Luka is almost certainly out of game one. And potentially out of game two. And even if he comes back for game three, this calf injury, you know, he needs to be 100% over that, which, again, according to In Street Clothes, he said it was around about 16 days from when you injure it, which will take him almost up to game three or four. So Doncic may not play so much in this series that is just sort of break that Utah needed. They needed some sort of luck to go their way. Maxi Kleber also missed the last four games of the season here. So the Mavericks could go in shorthanded. Now, I don't think, and surely to God, the Jazz aren't going to lose to a Luka Doncic-less team. But they also lost to the Clippers, remember, when Leonard went down, and they led that series 2-0. So they've got so many demons here that they need to exercise from this series. And on top of all that, in fourth quarters and late game situations, the Jazz have been awful this season. So if the Mavs can somehow keep these games close early on, Spencer Dinwiddie has been able to really close games well for Dallas. Dallas could almost get the split at home, which would be a great result for them, I think. That's the thing. Utah have to go out and put their stamp on this series early on, giving themselves a chance to close it out at home if they can in the first chance, which is maybe game four. I think that is huge for Utah. But I'm still not convinced on them either. So I think if you're the Mavs, let's say they do drop the first two games, they're almost like, Luka, you're just coming back now. Why not? You know, we can't afford to have him out for any longer, especially if they go there. I think that we've seen regular season Jazz at times this season, great on both ends of the floor, but just playoff history tells us that they have not been able to, you know, finish off series when they should have. They're healthy, they're rested, they're fresh, they've got everything in their favor except home court advantage. The Jazz should win based on what we know right now. If Luka plays from game two onwards, I'm taking the Mavs. So I don't know if I can use that in my predictions or not.
Wow.
I'm taking the Jazz because they surely have to win this series now in five games. I just
Jazz in five. If Luka's out for at least a couple games.
Yes. That's the sort of, you know, asterisk I'm putting on it here. I'm assuming he's out for three games.
Okay. All right, wow. So, wow. I mean, if you thought the Warriors-Nuggets series was confusing to try to figure out this one, to me, it's like, I don't know which Jazz team's going to show up. I don't even know if they like playing with each other at this point. Donovan Mitchell even going to pass the ball to Rudy Gobert. He's going to demand it. Who knows? Bogdanovich going to hit his shots. Yeah, they're good still defensively when you got Gobert, but can you play him off the floor? You know, try and go small. I don't know. What do you think here, Trey?
This is the break the Jazz needed, honestly. Luka Doncic going out because they didn't stand a chance against the Mavericks, I think, if Luka's playing. And honestly, I'm kind of with Lee. Like, 3 weeks is a number you hear for this calf injury. And if that means he's coming back right before game three, like, that's a really tough ask, especially, like, you read the thing on The Athletic talking with Jeff Stotts. Calves are huge, especially for a guy like Luka Doncic, who's just going back and forth. Like, it's all calf muscle stuff. So that's going to be tough. But, it feels like this series really comes down to Rudy Gobert to me. Like, he has to be good at offense. You want to be an offensive player? This is the series. Because the Mavs' best chance with no Luka, and even with Luka, is playing small ball. Like, they will probably run a lineup out there where their center is Dorian Finney-Smith.
Possible.
Right? Like, throw the ball to Gobert. Let him miss it. If he misses it, if he shoots 40% during the series, just shooting spitballs over here like I am, and he can't do it, then you say, fine, we're completely blowing up the team, you're out of here, you had your chance, because he should dominate this series. Games one and two are absolutely massive for the Jazz. They gotta win one of them. Two would be nice, especially if Donk doesn't play for both of them. But Gobert, man, this is his opportunity to be an offensive player, because he will have touches. The Mavericks are going to have to play small ball and shoot a ton of threes to beat the Jazz. If Rudy Gobert wants to stay on the court, he's got to be able to score, because he's going to get stretched out defensively, no doubt about it. So that'll be interesting to see. Pass it to him.
Wow.
Dunk it. Let's see those hook shots.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm buying the chemistry, though, of the Dallas Mavericks, even if Luka's out for game one or game
brings
two.
Brings them even closer together.
Well, they do have a decent fill-in in Spencer Dinwiddie.
Oh,
that ain't bad at all.
Dinwiddie and Brunson as your playmakers.
Yeah. So I don't think it changes all that much. Obviously, it changes, you know, Luka's an all-world talent.
Yeah.
But in terms of their scheme, I think they go in confident into game one for a game, as long as it doesn't last too long. I think they can steal one. Because I'm not buying what the Jazz are putting together at all. Yeah, go ahead, Rudy. Try and do it against a good Mavs defense that really does scramble and does do a good job. Yeah. The Kleba absence is very, very big. If he can't be there, that really hurts. So, yeah, it's a difficult one to predict, because you've got a great Mavs defense against a struggling Jazz team. You know, by all accounts, from all sides, whether it's Donovan Mitchell taking over the fourth, whether it's Rudy Gobert inside. It doesn't feel like a team that can put it all together. But, yeah, they can get out to a big lead. I believe in Dallas's home court advantage in this series. I think that's going to be big when they're playing at home.
So we had Jazz in five over here. I mean, a big part of that is what we're getting from Luka, when we're getting Luka, if we're getting Luka, if we're being honest. They have to protect – he's their franchise player too. And if they're down 2-0 and he's still, like, not 100%, you got to make some – tough decisions there. I know he's never won a playoff series and they want to get out of there, but like, you're also, you got to like protect the player from himself, I think.
Yeah.
So we'll see.
Yeah, I shouldn't have played him in the last game.
Well,
I mean, that's why why stars don't play game 82.
Yeah, but they were playing for, you know, they were playing for home court advantage, right? In that last game. I don't think that was
settled. They finished with 52 wins and the Jazz had 49.
Well, weren't they still battling with the Warriors?
The third seed.
Oh, I guess, yeah. Yeah,
good
point.
The third seed.
Yeah. So he's injured. The Jazz in five over here. What do you have, Trey?
Jazz in six. Yeah. I think the Mavs are not going to be good if they don't have Doncic. I mean, Spencer Dinwiddie is good because he's playing alongside Luka Doncic.
Sure.
So give me the Jazz in six, but that's a nervous one.
Okay. Tass?
Yeah, the Twitter doctors definitely make me nervous, even the real doctors, that Luka won't be there for an extended period here. But they did finish the season really, really well, so I'm taking them in seven.
The Mavericks.
Yes.
I'm with you.
Nice.
You thought Jalen Brunson was going to get paid? Oh, boy. You wait till this playoff series. No, I think Luka, of course, is banking on him returning. They have to split here. Dallas has to take one of these first two games at home, and then I'll feel really good about a Mavs in seven prediction with the idea of Luka coming back. And yeah, just like, I just don't have a ton of confidence in the Utah Jazz. No. That's where we're at with this team. Mm. Their two stars have not been on the same page late in games. Donovan Mitchell's been garbage.
Yeah.
Bad.
And that's what
poor
the Mavs
decisions.
Need, yeah.
Gobert wants it. All this blah stuff. So I'll go Mavs in seven. Long series here.
Jason Kidd even said, like, look, if we have Luka, we'll prepare as if we have him. If we don't, we'll prepare as if we don't. That tells me he's preparing to not have Luka, at least for the first two games, because he was kind of like...
Yeah, I don't think he's playing the first couple.
No. So, but also, you know, speaking of Cuff, I mean, remember Kevin Durant was a similar situation there against the Raptors. And they brought him back. And
I'm saying.
I mean, the last thing, like if Luka strains his calf and he's out for the season, he's fine. But if he does something worse, like an Achilles, that will just not be worth it for the Mavs this season.
Yeah, I agree with that. So we'll see. Let's hear from the stream team. Who you got? Mavs, Jazz? How do you, consider Luka and the injury into your equation? Let us know there in the stream team. Any final thoughts on either of these series? Are you guys ready?
No.
For the playoffs? It's a lot of basketball this weekend, guys.
I struggled with the play-in tournament watching.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah.
It's a nice...
Struggled watching four
I don't mind.
Games.
It's a good warm-up, though, at least.
Yeah. Yep.
But it's
I don't feel
games.
Good, though. I feel like the Utah Jazz.
Do you have a game plan going into the weekend?
Turn on the TV.
Yeah, but like, are you watching everything live? Sitting through a lot of commercials.
I know.
You know the move. You can bank some games. You can go through.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know.
Banking games in the playoffs?
I know. You don't like
no
to do
chance.
That.
Yeah. No chance. It's all live, baby. This is our NCAA tournament. This first weekend when they're on from like 1 o'clock until 1 o'clock.
We're gonna be here.
What?
We're going to be here.
Not
me.
Me
neither.
I will be at home. I'm going out to the hammock at every halftime. Because otherwise, I'm sitting downstairs inside on a beautiful weekend.
Yeah.
That's when you got to rig the TV outside. Don't you used to do that?
Yeah.
Man, I
wish I had a TV. Get pollen all over your TV.
When we used to be employees for AT&T. Not anymore. But Uverse went outside.
Oh, that's right.
Why I just got to plug it into a wall.
That was cool.
Wi-Fi signal. A WAP
Watch
signal.
It from the pool, your old place. Lee, what are you doing?
Yeah,
you ready, man? You got kids. You got a lot of things on the weekend.
Yeah. I'm trying to just look at right now what the Saturday afternoon, that Memphis, Minnesota 3:30 tip-off. Is that good or bad? I think that could be good because we got soccer in the morning.
Yeah.
Playtime early afternoon. Keep your eye on the Jazz-Mavs game and then say, all right, I'm out for 2.5 hours here. Oh, then there's Raptors Sixers on.
Oh,
that.
Boy.
Ooh.
Bedtime.
Yeah, see, I'm telling you right
not bedtime,
now,
just,
I need you
the
to get prepared.
Yeah.
You need a game plan.
I can probably rope in the boys for the Raptors Sixers because they're, well, the oldest one's a Raptors fan. The youngest one's a Hawks fan. I think I'm going to definitely lock in those two somehow.
Okay, good.
And then float for the other two.
Try and watch them all.
I'll watch them all. It's not live.
Yeah. Smart, man. You save a lot of time. But you can cut out like an hour of your consumption time there.
Yeah.
If you do bank it. But Trey's right. It's the first game. It's tough. Maybe that late one. What's the late game on Saturday night?
Nuggets Warriors.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
That's only 8:30 tip off, actually. That's not a killer. It's not your 10:30 tip off.
That's true.
There's no 10:30 tip offs. Well done, NBA.
Great stuff.
So good.
All right. Let's take our final break here. When we come back, Tass has Tweet of the Night. Don't go anywhere.
Don't just ride the index, seek to outperform it with Fidelity Active ETFs. Learn more at fidelity.com/active ETFs. Before investing in any exchange-traded fund, you should consider its investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses. Contact Fidelity for a prospectus, an offering circular, or if available, a summary prospectus containing this information. Read it carefully. While active ETFs offer the potential to outperform an index, these products may more significantly trail an index as compared with passive ETFs. Fidelity Brokerage Services, LLC, member NYSE, SIPC.
This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to MichelobUltra.com/courtside to learn more.
All right, it's about time for Tweet of the Night.
Is it?
Yep.
Okay. Mm, tweet of the night. Wow.
Twitter.
What do you need me to do there? You need me to vamp a little when we come back from the break?
No, I just need to, you know...
Follow the rundown?
Get my shit together.
Okay. I just didn't know if it was me or you.
That time, it was... It's always me. It's, honestly, it's always me.
Okay. I just never know if it's like too quick coming back from the break and then I throw right to tweet of the night. Like, well, oh, damn, I don't have a program.
Yeah, so, I mean, sometimes I don't know what you're going to do. Like, sometimes you'll, you know, well, sometimes you will, but...
Well, yeah, but do you need me to?
I don't need you to.
Okay. Hey,
all
right.
It's all me, man. All right. It's all on me.
You just got back from vacation. You're getting your reps in.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. Exactly.
What about this next part? Are we good for this next part where we show the tweets?
I believe, yes.
All right. Okay. I need all of you guys to get your stat hats on because we're talking stats here in Tweet of the Night.
Stat hat.
Yeah, get on your stat all hat. Right. This is from our friends at StatMuse.
Oh, boy.
Who asked... Give us here at StatMuse your craziest stats. Just a random
StatMuse is asking us for the stats now?
Your random stats out there. Usually they're like, you know, records or like usually it's Will Chamberlain. Will Chamberlain's done it all right. You know.
He averaged over 48 minutes played per game in a season.
Can you believe that?
That's wild.
48 and a half. He led the league in minutes played for 9 seasons. I was just looking at that. Anyway, that's not the stat we're talking about today. I task-mused it a few days ago when I brought up the fact that Paul George leads the NBA and the most all-NBA third teams
that's right.
in NBA history with 5. I find that
right.
Amazing.
Which we had brought up last year, I believe, too. Or maybe when we were talking about the NBA 75. Because people in the stream team were pointing it out. That's when I was doing my 10 All-NBA teams, getting very angry, of course, about who really cares where you land on the All-NBA team, all that.
Right.
And then it came up, the Paul George thing.
The most in NBA history.
But we had
history.
Said it before. Yeah, right.
Anyways, I find that stat amazing. Get ready for this. We got some amazing ones. Let's go, JD. Here's a stat that's wild. Kawhi Leonard has more finals MVPs than triple doubles. 2 versus 1. One triple double.
That's crazy.
Yeah, that is a good one.
It's a good stat.
Thanks, NBA fan 3023. Nice Moving stat. On to our second one. Draymond Green and Kevin Durant. They are tied when it comes to their career high of 3-pointers in a single game.
Wow.
At 8.
Very good.
I like that one.
That's a good nice one.
Yeah,
good one.
Yeah, I know. I'm not even giving you guys time to digest it because they're just so good because we've got another one here. Kawhi Leonard, you know, he's drafted 3 years before Andrew Wiggins.
Yeah.
And I preface that to say Wiggins has scored more points in the NBA than Kawhi Leonard. Come on, that's surprising.
Crazy.
Yeah,
I know he's injured, but come on. He started in 2011. Wiggins comes in 2014.
Yeah.
Wiggins has more points. I think he just passed him this year, actually, because Kawhi's injured. And Wiggins is a real he's a real Iron Man. He plays a lot
true.
Of games.
And every time he plays, he scores, you know, 18 to 22 points.
Yeah, so maybe you know, I debated if I should end with that one. It's probably not the best ending. The Draymond Green, Kevin Durant tying most threes in a game, probably a better one. But the Kawhi Leonard more than finals MVPs, it's an easy one to digest, 2v1. That's why I wanted you guys to get on your stat hats, because...
Good.
You know, really digest all those numbers.
Do you have any good stats?
Yes, there we
bit
go.
Bit of a party trick. There's only one player who's got more block shots than points scored in his NBA career.
Manute Bol.
Correct.
Nice task. Well done. Very nice task.
Party trick.
Well, no, it's a party
trick. You gotta go talk to that guy.
Being, you know, in the NBA, this is actually when I was younger, someone said to me, like, at a party once, like, give us a stat about Manute Bol on the spot.
What party are you at where someone came up and demanded a stat about
the
Manute
worst
Bol?
Party ever?
No. I was like 16, and it was like they were talking NBA. They were talking NBA, and people like, "Oh, this guy knows NBA. Let's give us a stat about Manute Bol." And I hit him with it.
Give us a stat.
That was a plant.
Yeah.
There's no way that was just a random happening.
Yeah. Oh, what a party!
Paid a guy $40 to be there and ask you for that.
So, yeah, that's a great stat.
That's a good stat.
That's a good stat.
So he got it right away.
Yeah.
He's been to that. You've been to a party like that.
Yeah.
I'm double checking my Draymond Green set, but it's right. That's why I was. I should have done that pre-show. But it's correct. It's correct.
Okay.
Yeah, that's right. Anyways.
I got a potential stat for you. not 100% sure it's true.
Uh-oh.
Jaden McDaniels and Jalen McDaniels became the only brothers to score points in the same play-in tournament last night.
I heard that last night from Trey Kirby.
Damn.
So it's gotta be true.
I think it's true. I just checked to make sure that both Cody and Caleb Martin didn't score in that Hornets game last year, but they didn't. Only one did.
Wow. Wow.
Yeah. But actually, true. that's not a true stat, because as soon as the play-in tournament is over, it's gone. So it's only true for one day.
It's like we were not even there. It's like we didn't even go to a basketball game last night.
We could have got trapped in the quantum.
That's what I was worried about.
Little tiny guys.
Yeah, the space continuum.
We're here. It's fine.
Or stuff like that. Yep. Scary stuff. All right. Any other stats you want to share?
Any other parties?
Nah.
What if that person say to you when you hit them with an actual Manute Bol
fact? You know that meme of the old, whoa! It was like that. Because it was just on the spot. And I just, you know, it's just one of those ones you carry around in your head, you know?
Amazing. Yeah. Okay, let's call it there. That's a great spot to end this. No games on tonight, but that doesn't mean there'll be no show tomorrow. No, we'll have a drop podcast. Tomorrow is Friday, right?
That's right.
Okay, good. Yes, we'll be back. Maybe we'll talk some awards. We'll look ahead again to those two play-in games to try and decide who the eighth seed is going to be. We really could do a deeper dive on the 2-7 matchups. I know we've touched on them, but we can make our actual predictions, right? I'm not sure we've locked that in yet.
That's true.
It's been a wild week here as we've juggled a lot of these things. So we'll do that on tomorrow's Drop Podcast. Send in your questions to nodunks@theathletic.com. Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, TikTok @NoDunksInc. Get yourself an athletic subscription. Go to theathletic.com/nodunks. $1 a month for up to 6 months. Still available. New No Buffs later today if you're a Survivor fan. No spoilers right now for Trey or I, because we gotta watch this. Right now, immediately following this No Dunks episode, we're going to watch Survivor last night, 2 hours of it, and then we'll break this down. What are we looking at? Maybe 2 p.m. Eastern if we can
jam it in.
I'll
set the stream up for 2, but if we can get it in earlier, we will. Okay. So subscribe.
Why was it a 2-hour episode?
Well, I don't know. I haven't watched it yet. I think they just took 2 episodes and jammed them together.
Super classic.
There's like a merge, non-merge. A lot going on here. Mm. I did see Jeff Probst breaking the fourth wall. He's talking right to us again.
There we go.
So.
That's the good stuff.
Yeah. So we'll do No Buffs later today on the separate YouTube No Buffs page. You can join us live there and obviously the podcast feed. And I believe that's it. Oh, we're also, if you're a Top Shot hot boy or girl, TK and I later today. We're going to be hosting one of their drop shows. Busy, busy day.
Right. Big stream day.
Stream day.
Great. Good luck. Good luck to you.
Nice. All right, Clipper Bros.
You heard it here first. Have a great time. Turn up. Love you guys. Awesome.
Thanks for joining us. And remember, Lee, you want to close it with your stat? I mean, it's a great stat.
Do you have a Muggsy Bogues stat?
Well, Muggsy Bogues and Manute Bol were at the same time the shortest and tallest player on the same team in NBA history.
Brace the
As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a 1-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a 1-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF-IN-IOWA. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a 1-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.